We're continuing our series on great Rebbeim and great Talmidim, and today we're going to talk about probably the most legendary relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud that exists, and that is the relationship between Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and Rav Baruch Ber. The way they say it, I think even in the introduction to the series, we mentioned this particular relationship, because the legend goes that while the Brisker Rav, Rav Chaim's son, was a Talmud of Rav Chaim, and Rav Baruch Ber was a Talmud of Rav Chaim, the difference is that if Rav Chaim would say that a table is like a cow, the Brisker Rav would say, oh yeah, a table has four legs and a cow has four legs. But Rav Baruch Ber would try to milk the table. That was the difference between Rav Baruch Ber and in his level of absolute bittul to Rav Chaim, that whatever Rav Chaim said, and Rav Baruch, it was a very, very important relationship in Rav Baruch Ber's life. In fact, they say that Rav Baruch Ber, who was known, was a big Bal Menagin. He was very musically skilled. He would come up with all sorts of compositions, of original compositions. Rav Chaim apparently was tone deaf. It's a Soloveitchik family trait that he didn't. He was not at all musically inclined. So they once asked Rav Baruch Ber, "How could it be that you sing and that you make music? The Rebbe didn't do that. You don't do like Rav Chaim." So Rav Baruch Ber said, "There's no such thing as a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never creates a person that's 100% good or that's 100% not good. There's no such thing as such a person. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Reb Chaim 99.9% good, and the only thing he didn't give him is musical talent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me 99.9% bad, and the only thing he gave me is musical talent." To that degree is how Reb Baruch Bar felt about himself in comparison to his Rebbe, Reb Chaim. So let's talk a little bit about, I'm actually not going to say much Torah today. It's going to be more about this idea of a Rebbe Talmud relationship. It's something that's very meaningful, and particularly how it plays out in Rav Baruch Ber and Rav Chaim. So a little bit about Rav Chaim, and then a little bit more about Rav Baruch Ber. Rav Chaim was born in Volozhin in 1853. He, of course, was the son of Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik of the Beis HaLevi, and the Beis HaLevi was passed over for the position of Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin in favor of the Netziv, and the family moved away at that point, but Rav Chaim ultimately came back to be a Rebbe as well. He was brought back, he married a granddaughter of the Netziv, and he was brought back to the Yeshiva. He is considered to be, and rightfully so, the founder of the Brisker method, of the idea of analyzing the Gemara and analyzing the Rishonim through very clear categorization, and where all of the halachos are not just a jumble of halachos, but that everything fits into a category, everything fits into a definition and a terminology that makes sense. And his primary work that he wrote is Chidushei Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi on the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, and Rav Chaim worked on that his entire life. He wrote it and rewrote it and rewrote it, and every word is measured in the Chidushei Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi. He also has what they call the Chidushei Hagrach HaLashas, what they call the Rav Chaim in the stencils. It's not stencils anymore, it's a regular printed book, but it's written up by Talmidim of Rav Chaim's Chidushim. Rav Chaim was a very staunch anti-Zionist. A lot of times people think the name Soloveitchik in America, and they think of our Rav Soloveitchik, so they think of Mizrahi, etc. But the rest of the Soloveitchik family certainly did not subscribe to that view. He married the daughter of Raphael Shapiro, as I mentioned before, who was also the granddaughter of the Netziv. He had two sons, two very famous sons. He had more than two sons, but two very famous sons, the Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who ultimately became Rosh Shiva in YU. He had many Talmidim, but the major Talmidim that Rav Chaim had were Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, Rav Baruch Ber, who we're going to talk about today, Rav Issachar Zalman Meltzer, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, who we spoke about last time, Rav Shlomo Paletchik, who was also Rav Shlomo Paletchik, who was the Meitzer Eloi, maybe we'll talk about him in a few moments as well, who was also a Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva University, Rav Chaim Eiser, Rav Shimon Shkap. I mean, Rav Chaim's tree is a very broad tree, and his mahalich in learning very often is misunderstood. People assume that it's all about analysis and only about analysis. There is a tremendous amount of bekiyus involved, of a broad range of knowledge involved in Rav Chaim's learning. He reviewed, they say, an entire Masechta Bal Peh every single day. that every single day he would close his eyes and review an entire Masechta of Shas Bal Peh. He felt that a person is not authorized to say a chiddush in learning unless he has learned all of, he knows all of Shas with Perish Rashi. And only then, when he has all of Shas on his mind, is he able to say a chiddush in learning. He was known to have a distaste for the Telzer method in learning. They say that one of the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva was telling him once, Reb Chaim Telzer was telling him once, that he thinks that that the way Kiddushin works, that when a man is Mekadesh and Isha and they get married, that it's that every moment the Kiddushin is renewed. Every minute there's a new Kiddushin. So the way the story goes is Reb Chaim thought that that was so ridiculous, he turned to him and he said, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, as if like you know, each moment you're having a new Kiddushin. That's clearly not the way it works. He had a strong distaste for that entire way of thinking, that entire style of learning. However, Reb Chaim was a very, very great tzaddik. He was a Baal Chesed par excellence. I think I've mentioned in some other shir that it says, and Rav Salvechik said this, that it says on Reb Chaim's tombstone that he was a Rav Chesed and nothing else, just that he was a Baal Chesed. However, people have sent me pictures of Reb Chaim's tombstone. It actually does say more than that. It does not just say that he was a Rav Chesed, but certainly Rav Salvechik was under the impression that on his grandfather's tombstone it said that he was a Rav Chesed, and that it didn't really say much of didn't really say anything else. They say that Reb Chaim's house was a Rishus HaRabin. It was open to anybody and everybody. Everybody could come into Reb Chaim's house. Poor Aniyim were there all the time. They just moved in for months at a time, years at a time, weeks at a time, however long they wanted to stay. So the joke they used to say is that they asked Reb Chaim why he has a door on his house. What does he need a door for if everyone's just going to come in and the door's always open, anyone come whenever they want? And he said because there's a Shitas HaRambam that a house is only Chayiv in Mezuzah, that a room is only Chayiv in Mezuzah, a doorway is only Chayiv in Mezuzah if it has a door. So he says he wants to be Yotze Shitas HaRambam in Ilchus Mezuzah, and that's why he puts a door on his house. But otherwise, Eino Chinami, there's no need for a door on the house of Reb Chaim. They say whenever there was a public announcement that needed to be made in Brisk, they would just hang the announcement in Reb Chaim's house. You know, like we have like a bulletin board in shul or something where people will put something public because that's the most public place. Nowadays, it's WhatsApp groups and everything else. You know, so I don't think shuls even bother with bulletin boards anymore. But because you know things that word gets spread other ways. But they said that the bulletin board was not in the shul in Brisk; it was in Reb Chaim's house because there were more people that are going to walk through Reb Chaim's house than anywhere else. That was the best way to advertise. Reb Baruch Ber tried to mimic to the best of his ability every single detail of Reb Chaim's persona and Reb Chaim in learning. If you go through the Bircha Shmuel, which is Reb Baruch Ber's Sefer, which is a little confusing, he called the Sefer Bircha Shmuel, named after his father. His father's name was Shmuel. It's a little less known that Reb Baruch Ber was very mekusher to his father also. His father was a Rav and he was very much connected to his father as well, but that's why he called the Sefer Bircha Shmuel, named after his father. In fact, when Reb Baruch Ber died, Reb Baruch Ber insisted one of his last dying wishes was that he be buried next to his father. Even though as he was dying, they said the Talmidim were around his bed, and Reb Baruch Ber was saying, the Rebbe is coming, the Rebbe is coming, I need to wash my hands, I see the Rebbe coming. With the impression that you get is that as he was dying, he saw Reb Chaim coming to greet him into Gan Eden, that he saw that was the person that was coming to greet him into Gan Eden. And he told one of the Talmidim, say over the shir now, say over the Rebbe's shir, because Reb Baruch Ber said over Torah from Reb Chaim, and he wanted the Talmidim to repeat the entire shir that they heard from Reb Chaim. And the Talmidim said, now we're going to say over the shir. He said, say over the shir, the Rebbe's coming. And he said over the shir, and then Reb Baruch Ber closed his eyes, and Reb Baruch Ber went to the Olam HaEmes. But Reb Baruch Ber insisted on being buried next to his father. He was very, very much connected to his father. Problem was, in the cemetery where his father was buried, there were no spots, there was no open space to bury Reb Baruch Ber. So they asked, I think they asked Reb Chaim Ezra at the time, what should we do? Where should we bury Reb Baruch Ber? He insisted being buried next to his father, but there are no spots in the cemetery. It's already full. So they were told the psak that they got is to find a spot. That you need to find a place. If everyone could just mute themselves. If everyone could just mute themselves. Okay, maybe someone could text the person who's not me.
Well, here's
If you're not muted, stuff. If I could just ask if everyone could just mute themselves. Rabbi Muskin, do you have the ability to mute people?
I'm selling, that's what I've been doing for 2 years, but not doing more retail, single tenant net.
Okay. All right. Okay, great. So they buried Rav Baruch Ber in the cemetery, but they buried him perpendicular to all the other graves. So all the other graves went in one direction, his grave went in the other direction, because they had to rip up part of the road where they buried Rav Baruch Ber. It happens to be that the Nazis then came. Rav Baruch Ber died in 1939. The Nazis came, and no one else was ever buried in that cemetery. They broke down all the matzevas in the cemetery. Rav Baruch Ber never even had a matzeva. He never even got to that point. And they poured concrete all over the cemetery. There was no way to find anything. It was only recently, like 10 years ago or so, there was a whole maisa. I don't want to get into the maisa now. There was a whole maisa with a little girl who made fun of Rav Baruch Ber, and her family thought that she needed a kapara for something. So they went to find the kever of Rav Baruch Ber, and there was no matzeva. How you can find the kever? There's 70,000 people buried in that cemetery, and there's no matzeva for Rav Baruch Ber, and there's no matzeva for most of the people in the cemetery. So how are you going to find where he was buried? So they had some clues about that from older people who remember the funeral and remember that he was right near the Tahara room of the Chevra Kadisha, and they looked around that area and it was right near a path, and they dug and they dug and they dug, and they found one grave that was perpendicular to the other graves, that was not parallel with the other graves, and they realized they had found the grave of Rav Baruch Ber. So 75 years after his Patira, Rav Baruch Ber had a matzeva, but prior to that he didn't even have a matzeva. But he was very mekusher to his father as well, but that's not the focus today. The focus today is on his connection to Reb Chaim. Reb Baruch Ber came to America in 1928 to raise money. He came together with his son-in-law, Reb Reuven Grzovsky, who was also a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham and Rosh Yeshiva. And in fact, the New York City mayor at the time, Jimmy Walker, presented Reb Baruch Ber with a key to the city. And he said that Reb Baruch Ber, the mayor of New York City, said that Reb Baruch Ber disproves Darwin's theory of evolution, because only God could have created such a person. He was someone who was so impressive looking. And while he was in the U.S., he visited many cities. He went to Philadelphia and to Pittsburgh, to Detroit, to Boston, to smaller Jewish places. He gave a shiur at the National Convention of the Agudas HaRabbanim in Belmar, New Jersey. He gave a shiur in Yeshiva University. In fact, he had a tremendous impact on Yeshiva University because for two reasons. First of all, while he was in New York, the maitre d'Eloi, Rav Shlomo Palachik, passed away. Now, who was Rav Shlomo Palachik? Rav Shlomo Palachik was when he came to Valazhin, was a 12-year-old boy. It was unusual for a 12-year-old boy to come to Valazhin. They said that when they saw him come, I think Reb Chaim or the Nitziv, someone said, where's his crib? Did he come with his crib also? And then the Reb Chaim tested him, and he said, the story goes, that Reb Chaim said that he never met such a Mashunah Dika Eloi in his entire life, that he's never seen such a genius like Rav Shlomo Palachik. And Rav Shlomo Palachik was a Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzhak Elchanan. But sadly, he died very suddenly at the age of 51. And Rav Baruch Ber happened to have been in New York at the time. So Rav Baruch Ber said a hesped for Rav Shlomo Palachik because he remembered him as a child. They were friends when back in yeshiva days. So he said a hesped for Rav Shlomo Palachik. Anyone who lives in New York can go visit Rav Shlomo Palachik's kever. It's in Queens. There are a number of Gedolei Torah that are buried there. I ran a tour of the cemetery earlier this year. There are so many Gedolei Torah that are there, all the Torah Vedas, Rosh Yeshiva. So anyway, so that's one way that Rav Baruch Ber had a tremendous impact on Yeshiva University. The other way that he had a tremendous impact on Yeshiva University, I saw somewhere, I think maybe from Dovi Safir, I forgot where I saw, that Rav Baruch Ber was approached by Dr. Revel at the time to asked if he wouldn't mind to take over for Rav Shlomo Palachik as Rosh Yeshiva and Rabbeinu Yitzhak Elchanan. Rav Baruch Ber had no interest in doing so. He did not want to become the Rosh Yeshiva and Rabbeinu Yitzhak Elchanan, but he said, I know someone who's a perfect fit. His name is Moshe Soloveitchik, the son of my great Rebbe, Reb Chaim. And sure enough, they followed his advice and they brought Moshe Soloveitchik over to New York, and Ramesh Soloveitchik became Rosh Shiva, and that obviously set the path of Yeshiva University Ada Yom Hazeh, where Ramesh Soloveitchik's son, the Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the Rav, took over for him, and is the Rebbe of all of our Rebbeim, of all of the Rebbeim, and the Rebbe of your Rabbi, and the Rebbe of all of our Rebbeim in Yeshiva. So that made a tremendous, tremendous impact. A little known fact that Rav Baruch Ber had such a tremendous impact on Yeshiva University. But his children and his grandchildren all became Rosh Yeshiva. His daughter married Rav Reuven Kozovsky, who was Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas in Brooklyn, and Beis Medrash Elyon in Muncie. His grandson, Chaim Shlomo Leibovich, was, by the way, no relation between Rav Baruch Ber and me. I'm also, my last name is Leibowitz, but not really. Somewhere along the way, we changed our last name, and we chose Leibowitz as the, I don't know why, but it was like a mother's name or something somewhere along the line. It was a maiden name, but no relation, sadly. But Rav Chaim Shlomo Leibowitz was one of the most prominent poskim and Talmidei Chacham, not poskim, but Talmidei Chacham in Yerushalayim, and was also a major personality in the Panovich Yeshiva in Bnei Brak. Rav Chaim Zimmerman, the famous genius from Chicago, was a nephew of Rav Baruch Ber. Rav Baruch Ber wrote the Birch Shmuel. That was his magnum opus. If you flip through the Birch Shmuel, I mentioned before, every single piece kimat in Birch Shmuel is either based on Rav Chaim or it's based on Rabbi Kiva Eiger. He had a tremendous affinity for Rabbi Kiva Eiger. But there's one thing in the Birch Shmuel that you might notice that I never noticed before. As I was looking over Shabbos, I was flipping through Birch Shmuel, I found that in the beginning of the second volume of Birch Shmuel, his son-in-law, Rav Reuven Kozovsky, wrote a five-page bio of the Shver. He wrote a five-page bio of Rav Baruch Ber, and it is fascinating. He describes his father-in-law's love of Torah. He describes his father-in-law's tzidkus. There were many times in his life where Rav Baruch Ber gave away the last of his food to a poor Jew. All he was concerned about was other people's welfare. He used to say, when I would come before the Beis Din Shalmaila, they're going to look to see, what did I bring with me? Do I have Torah? He said, I don't know if I really have Torah. Do I have Yirah Shemayim? I don't know if my Yirah is on a Madrega, that it's worthy of the term Yirah Shemayim, but there's one thing I'll be able to say with confidence, and that is that I loved every single Jew. And when I saw another Jewish person, all I thought about is how to be meitiv for him, how to do good for him, and how to help him. Rav Reuven Kozovsky writes in that introduction that in addition to that, he never viewed himself as having achieved in learning, as having become a great Talmud Chacham. He writes, "Umei olam lo chashav klal ki yara dat sof advarim." He never thought he fully understood any topic. Elakol yamav hayeket Talmud katan anichnas achshav legemara. His entire life, he viewed himself as a small Talmud who just now was beginning Gemara. Rav Baruch Ber never thought that he ever got to the letter Taf in the Aleph Beis. He always understood on each topic that he just got to the Aleph. Whatever level of understanding was just the Aleph, and that was his gadlus. And Rav Reuven goes on to write, "Ubi Yosai Rebbe Yosar Gadol Liolam." He was the greatest Rebbe in the world, but Lo Limei the Talmidav Ela Echlios Talmid. He taught his Talmidim how to be a Talmid. Keep it, and this is why it's so powerful to talk about Rav Baruch Ber in the context of this series about Rebbe and Talmidim. He is the paradigmatic example of a Talmid. All he wanted to do was be a Talmid to his Rebbe and to teach his own Talmidim how to be Talmidim. And Rav Reuven explains, what does that mean that he taught them how to be a Talmid? Ki b'shah she'acherim yagul l'tarit kushyos. Other Rosh Yeshiva were busy answering questions, or lister terutzim, or slugging up answers that people gave. Yagahu lahavin eich tzarech lahakshos kushya. Rav Baruch Ber was interested in how do you ask a kasha. Eich tzarech l'tarit terutz. How do you give a terutz? Eich tzarech l'stapik safek. How does one raise a safek? It reminds me very much of how when you talk to Rav Schechter about Rav Soloveitchik, maybe we'll do one month, we'll do that as the Rebbe-Talmud relationship. I was just with Rav Schechter this week. Someone had reached out to me and said, you know, the Talmidim of Rav Schechter should really get together and write down all of the stories that Rav Schechter says, you know, about tzaddikim and gedolim from previous generations. A fellow who reached out to me is a very prominent historian. He said, I'll clean up the historical aspects of it, you know, make sure that, it, you know, for historical accuracy. He said it will be the most popular book in the whole Yeshivish world. You should totally do that. So I mentioned the idea to Rav Schechter, and Rav Schechter said, yeah, I tell a lot of stories. And then he paused for a moment and he said, because Rav Soloveitchik used to tell a lot of stories. Meaning, I would think you tell a lot of stories because they're entertaining, they're interesting, it draws people back into the learning if someone is spacing out. No, that may be true, but I tell a lot of stories because Rav Soloveitchik tells a lot of stories. That's the only reason to tell a lot of stories. Anyway, some of the stories of Rav Baruch Ber was, we mentioned already, the finding of his grave. We didn't go into great detail about how they found his grave. The story goes, and this, it's a difficult to believe story, and I don't know where it comes from, but the story goes that someone had there was in a Beis Yaakov, somewhere in the western part of the United States, there was a girl that had a Rebbe card with Rav Baruch Ber's picture on it, and Rav Baruch Ber had a very unique look. If you've ever seen his picture, you could see the Kedusha, but also a very, very unique look, and the girl made a disparaging comment. She said, "Oh, this rabbi looks like a monkey," or something like that. And shortly thereafter, she had some sort of Bell's palsy or something on her face, where her face was deformed, was unable to move. And the doctor said, "Look, it could stay like that forever. We have no idea how to fix it." And the family got the impression that she was being punished because of the disparaging remark that she made about Rav Baruch Ber. So the story goes, again, making a very long story very short, the story goes that family really spearheaded the campaign to find Rav Baruch Ber's kever. First, they went to the cemetery to ask for mechila with a minion for the slight, and after that, she was cured. But that brought about the finding of the actual kever itself, where they were able to finally give Rav Baruch Ber the matseva that he deserves. Now, as far as his connection to Rav Chaim, as I mentioned, every piece in Birchas Shmuel is connected to Rav Chaim. But why is it that he appreciated Rav Chaim's Torah more than anybody else appreciated Reb Chaim's Torah? Meaning everybody appreciated Reb Chaim's Torah. Not everybody. There were some people that were jealous. But most people, Reb Chaim revolutionized Torah learning. Why is it that Reb Baruch Ber was able to appreciate it on a higher level somehow, or on a greater level, the more intensity than others? Reb Reuven Brzezovsky explains, and I think it's such a beautiful formulation. He says, "Gadluso shel Mori Chamizal lo hoisa b'mashe nosan ba'ad ha-Torah yosar mishar b'nei Adam." The greatness of my father-in-law was not that he gave more for the Torah than other people. It's that he was able to draw out from the Torah more than other people did. Well, what does he mean by that? I think what he means by that is that you have a lot of people that will put all of their kochos, all of their energy, with great hasmada, they will learn with great diligence in Torah, but that is only one half of the equation. Then when you understand Torah and you achieve in Torah, what is your attitude toward the Torah that you just learned? Is it, okay, another bit of knowledge, let's move on and work hard on the next bit of knowledge? Or are you overjoyed by the Torah that you have just received? Rav Baruch Ber had, they said you could tell how his learning went by his mood. If he was in a good mood, it means that he had a chiddush that day that made sense to him. It means that he had something that went well in his learning. If he was in a bad mood, it means he was struggling in learning. Nothing else that happened in his life would upset him or bring him joy. The only thing that affected his mood, he had this incredible connection to Torah and to the joy of Torah. Rav Reuven Brzezovsky writes that at one point, Rav Baruch Ber was learning with his son, and he told the son a chiddush of Rabbi Kiva Eiger. As I mentioned before, he was very connected to the chiddushim of Rabbi Kiva Eiger. And the son said, "Yeah, but," he heard the chiddush and right away asked the kasha on the chiddush. He said, "Well, but, you know," so Rav Baruch Ber said, wait. Before you ask any kashas, you need to take a moment and appreciate the beauty of the chiddush of Rabbi Kiva Eiger. You first have to appreciate the depth and the beautiful svara before you ask any questions. And that is how Rav Baruch Ber took more out of the Torah. That when he achieved something in Torah, it meant something to him, and it was something that he had to spend time to focus on. I don't know how well this line will resonate with everybody, but Reuven Brzezovsky writes that at one time he said a chiddush in Torah, and he said that he was so excited by the chiddush, he said that he quoted in the name of the Ridvaz about a particular svara. Shekol hachevle leido shel imo ve'em imo v'kali imaos shahayu lo hayu kedoyim b'shvil asvara achas ha'yishe chidesh. that all of the labor pains that his mother had and his grandmother had and all the women in history that he descended from had were all worth it because he was able to be born to say that one chiddush. That's how much he valued that, a single chiddush. Again, it's on their cheshbon, but whatever, that's how much he valued that chiddush, that he was so, he took so much more out of the Torah. In that piece, Rav Reuven Gazovsky writes that Rav Baruch Ber believed that the concept of Yiridas Hadoros is not a uniquely Jewish phenomenon. We often think that Yiridas Hadoros is because we're further away from our Sinai, so we are not as great as our Rebbeim and their Rebbeim and our fathers and grandfathers, etc. He said, no, Yiridas Hadoros is true by the Chachmei Umos HaOlam as well. You see that humanity in general is not as refined as it was, is not as wise as it was. It's true of the Chachmei Umos HaOlam as well. He said, you know the difference? The difference is that when it comes to the Umos HaOlam, they don't realize that there's a Yiridas Hadoros. With Chachmei Yisrael, we appreciate that there's a Yiridas Hadoros, and he said, and the difference is, the reason we're able to appreciate Yiridas Hadoros, where the Chachmei Umos HaOlam are not able to appreciate it, is because we have a relationship with the Rebbe. So if a person has a relationship with the Rebbe, if I could sit by the feet of Rav Schechter, if a Baruch Ber could sit by the feet of Rav Chaim, we can see that we're so far away. We're miles and miles and miles away from where our Rebbe is in terms of their stature, in terms of their chachma. So since we see the Rebbe from close up, we appreciate the concept of Yiridas Hadoros. But if a person doesn't have a connection to a Mesorah, a person doesn't have a connection to the Rebbe and to who the Rebbe is, then he's never going to appreciate that sense of Yiridas Hadoros. And it's like when you see something from a distance, it appears to be small. So he said, by the Umos HaOlam, it's always from a distance. It's always something that appears to be small. In the Kiyum L'Dmus Diyukno Shal Admar Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Levracha, that Rav Reuven Gazovsky writes, he writes, Hu Haya Omer Ki Einenu Meivin Eich Yochal Adam Lichyos Pa'olam Afilu Shah Achas Beli Rav. That Rav Baruch Ber couldn't understand how a person could live even for a Shah Achas, for one moment, without a Rebbe. And he thought the greatest bracha one could have in their life is when they have a Rebbe who is a Gon. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that if you actually open up a Birchas Shmuel and start learning through some of the pieces, it doesn't really sound like Reb Chaim at all. Reb Chaim's Torah sounds entirely different. It has a different tone. It has somewhat of a different style. And you would think that, wait a second, if for the person who's supposed to be the torchbearer, the one who's carrying forward Reb Chaim's Torah, how come it doesn't resonate as Reb Chaim's Torah? You'll find similar with Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is a Talmud of Reb Chaim also, and very, very different. And that is part of the beauty of Torah, that at the end of the day, different Rabbanim have different personalities, different ways of thinking about things, and as much as we are kafuf to the Rebbeim, every Talmud has to go through his own neshama, it has to go through his own brain, his own way of thinking about things, and it therefore comes out a little bit differently, with his own unique spin, with his own unique way of expressing himself. So even Rav Baruch Ber could say chidushim that sound different than Rav Chaim, that just tells you how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he creates each and every human being, there are no two, as Chazal tell us, that there are no two that are the same. Chazal tells us the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam is that normally when a person makes a coin, so they have an imprint and they make all the coins look exactly the same. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us all, B'Tzelem Elokim, and each one of us are entirely different from the other. And even Rav Baruch Ber and Rav Chaim were different from each other, but that is still, to this day, the model, the paradigm of what it means to be a Rebbe, what it means to have a Rebbe Talmud relationship, Reb Chaim and Reb Baruch Ber. So with that, I wish everyone a wonderful day, and I got to get back to the Shasathon over here, and Bez Hashem, I'll see everybody next month. I'm not sure yet who we're going to do next month, but we'll see you next month.
Thank you so much.